This morning we finish our study of Jesus' farewell discourse to the disciples as they ate their last meal together. And Jesus has told them that they're only going to be together for a little while longer. They don't want him to go. They don't want to be without Jesus. The 14th chapter of John's Gospel is often read at funerals. It's a fairly familiar passage. It's a passage that brings us comfort in times of profound loss. Jesus says, "I am going to prepare a place for you, and I am going to come back and take you with me. You know the way." Well, Thomas, generally grumpy, a doubter, says, "No, I'm not satisfied. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way, Jesus?" And Jesus responds, "I am the way and the truth and the life." What does it mean that Jesus says, "I am the way"? Over and over again throughout the Old Testament, in the Psalms and in the prophets, the desire of God's people is for God to teach them about his ways, that they may walk in his paths. And Jesus says, "Your prayer has been answered. God has taught you about his way. I am the way." The first Christians called themselves followers of the way. Do you remember back when we used to have a glove box full of this paper that was folded up in a very intricate pattern, and we called it a map? Does anybody remember that? We had some of those. Glove box full. Every place we'd ever been. This piece of paper, it was almost origami the way it was folded together. And you would take it out, and for the kids, thank goodness we don't have many kids here today because they would never understand. We would have to fold it back down so that we could see the part of the map that we needed to follow, right? And then we would turn it and try to figure out which direction we were really going. Do you remember doing that? Mm-hmm. And then eventually somebody beside us who was driving would start looking over our shoulder, and we would turn the map so that they couldn't look at it while they were driving. And we would follow the tiny little lines. And finally, you know how it ended. We would shrug and say, "I think we missed it." God's people had been following a map. They'd been given the map in the law and in the prophets to find their way. And they had folded it up and turned it and looked at it. And on occasion, they looked at each other and went, "I think we missed it." It always ended in frustration. We don't have maps in our glove compartments anymore. There's no atlas conveniently tucked in the pocket of the driver's seat, is there? The transformation of knowing Jesus as the way is not unlike the transformation ahead for us as self-driving cars become the norm. We have gone from maps to GPS systems, and now we have cars that will drive you where you need to go. They're being tested in several cities. I read about it this week. It's amazing. They're spreading quickly. For followers of the way, a similar shift happened in Jesus. The Israelites used to read and study the law and the prophets to try to find their way. And now Jesus is the way. No more trying to figure it out and backtracking and frustration, seeking to try to figure it out. How do we get there? Jesus is the way. He will take you where you need to go. He doesn't just map the way. He's not like a GPS system. He is the way. He doesn't just teach the truth. He's not like a good professor. He is the truth. He doesn't just live a life. He is life. What Jesus is saying is that he's not a messenger of God. He's not a prophet. "If you know me," he says, "you have known and seen the Father." Now that's a big deal. Even even Moses couldn't look at God's face. Moses pleaded to see God's glory, and God agreed to pass by Moses and cover Moses' face until God's glory had passed by, and then remove his hand and let him see God's back. Jesus tells the disciples, "In me, you have seen God's glory. And I will not leave you alone. The Father and I will send you the Holy Spirit in my name, the Spirit of truth, who will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have taught you." Here Jesus describes what we have come to call the Trinity in as much detail as recorded anywhere in Scripture. God in three persons has been present and is present with God's people. When the Israelites escaped from Egypt, God was present, traveling with them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And then when Moses was on Mount Sinai, God gave him instructions for the building of an ark in which he was to place the stone tablets of the covenant and for the tabernacle and for all of its furnishings. Here, God would be present. Solomon built a temple in Jerusalem, and the ark of the covenant Moses built was placed inside. Here, God was present. When the time came, Mary delivered Emmanuel, God with us, and named him Jesus, which means he saves. Now he is going away to be with the Father, and he's sending the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth. Here, God is present. So be at peace, says Jesus. The Greek word is eirene. It is the Greek equivalent of shalom in Hebrew. Eirene, peace, is not just the absence of war or placidness because we have a lack of struggle. That's the kind of peace that the world holds out as ideal. Eirene, peace, is different. It's the peace of wholeness, the peace that comes when all of the essential parts are joined together. Eirene, peace, abides with us no matter what circumstances we're facing, because it flows from our right relationship with God. It's the peace that gives us strength in the midst of the crisis. Horatio Spafford expressed his experience of eirene, peace, when he wrote, "It is well with my soul," which Tom so beautifully played for us this morning. Horatio Spafford was a Chicago lawyer and a businessman, and he and his wife had five children. They had four girls and a boy. He was successful, and he was blessed by anyone's description, until 1871, when their son developed pneumonia and died, and then the Great Chicago Fire destroyed much of his business. But Horatio Spafford rebuilt, and in 1873, he and his wife and his four girls had planned to go to Europe together aboard a French ocean liner called the Ville du Havre. He was delayed by business, and so his wife and his girls went ahead, and he was going to come aboard a later ship to join them. Well, 4 days into their journey, the ocean liner collided with another ship, and within 12 minutes descended into the deep blue waters of the Atlantic. A sailor was rowing by, and he spotted a woman floating on a piece of wreckage. It was Anna, Horatio's wife, still alive. So he pulled her into the boat, and they were picked up by another larger boat, which 9 days later landed them in Cardiff, Wales. From there, she wired her husband a message which began, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" Horatio Spafford, her husband, booked passage on the next available ship, and left to join his grieving wife. With the ship about 4 days out, the captain called him to his cabin, and he told him that they were now over the place where his children had gone down. It was on that voyage that Horatio Spafford penned the words to "It Is Well With My Soul," describing the peace that passes understanding, the peace that Jesus leaves with us. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Even in the pain of tragedy, Horatio Spafford knew God was with him and experienced the balm of a peace that sustained him in the midst of life's trials. The prophet Jeremiah had expressed the need for that balm centuries before. He lamented, "We looked for peace, but no good came, for a time of healing, but behold terror. My grief is beyond healing. My heart is sick within me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there?" Gilead, located on the west side of the Jordan River, was known for a healing perfume that they sold throughout the region. They produced it there. It came from a gum-like resin from one of the balsam poplar trees. And this balm of Gilead was carried all over and sold to heal people. But the prophet Jeremiah isn't lamenting a lack of supply to meet demand. It's not an economics lesson here. The balm he seeks is peace, a time of healing. Is there no physician here, he begs. There is a physician here. That is the good news. Jesus, who is the way, in whom we have seen God, is the great physician, is the balm of Gilead, and he leaves his peace with us. It is well. It is well with my soul. Thanks be to God. Amen.